Morning.
Good evening. Thank you very much for being on my show.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be here. Pleasure to be here. I love what you're doing.
Thank you. So I have seen your profile. I can see you're doing a lot of work. So I thought to tell about your work to my audience.
Very fun.
So before that, can you please introduce yourself to my audience?
My name is Lee Trinity. I've mostly been focused on red team hacking, and mostly I'm leaning towards malware development as well as analysis right now. It's a new field that I'm just getting into. I've been only hacking for about 2 years, but I've been doing it fairly intensively, where I've covered a lot of the different aspects of InfoSec, and now I'm starting to focus in where my programming and my hacking is coming together with malware.
You are from?
I'm from Newfoundland, Canada.
So you are into hacking from last 2 years, or you have been in IT from long time?
I've started programming probably about 2 years prior. I started off with a C# and a Python boot camp. And what I noticed was all the programs I would do, like a simple port sniffer or a very simple virus, it would get a lot of attention. So it sort of pushed me into learning more about the hacking because these programs were getting so much attention. And that's when I fell in love with hacking. And I haven't looked back since.
So what kind of projects that you have done?
Everything from car hacking was absolutely amazing. Being able to control what's going on in a car with the CAN protocols. Anything from web app hacking. I did a lot of SCADA ICS industrial control systems. That was a really interesting one because it allowed me to look at other Canadian factories. For example, I looked at one in Alberta, Canada, and the factory was wide open for me to take control. I could push every single button inside this factory. So what I was doing was every Thursday, I would set aside some time at night to look at the Canadian industrial sector and sort of pick out things I could help them fix. So I would contact these companies and say, hey, I have almost full control of your factory right now. Like you need to do something about this. A lot of it's improper setup. Sometimes it's just default passwords. You know what I mean? So sometimes you get messages back. Sometimes I think when they see hacker and my company, they just get scared and no one even bothers to contact you back. What I did find, though, a lot of these companies were open and thankful that, you know, someone from Canada, their own country, sort of stepping in and saying, hey, you need to fix this before someone else from outside who don't care about you is really going to do some damage.
So what technologies or what expertise you have that are helping you to do these kind of things?
With the SCADA ICS, I use a lot of bash programming for automation. I lean a lot on assembly programming right now and C. I'm just starting a new C program course because, yeah, I could definitely improve my C. And I'm finding that really rewarding. With the malware analysis, it comes out to really needing assembly and really needing C program to do anything with malicious software. So that's been my focus now since maybe November of last year.
You are an individual contributor or you're working for an organization?
No, I'm not working for any organization. I'm actually an injured soldier, and this is just my hobby, my pastime right now. I do get some different people from organizations. The Ukrainian Army, for example, reached out and wanted help finding insecure cameras within Ukraine during their war. So this is something else I can help out with because I do know enough about IP cameras and how insecure a lot of those are. So I can spend a couple of evenings just helping them out. But right now, no, this is just a veteran trying to keep busy and not think about the past, think about a better future.
So what is that quality? I mean, what are that qualities that are making you to make this happen? It can be working for Ukraine or for Canada or for other companies or organizations that you're helping for.
Right. For me, it's we get so bad names as hackers sometimes, and realistically, we could really help out our fellow allies and our country within ourselves. The drive and that sort of comes from, I did 15 years in the military. When I came out of the military, I didn't really have an identity for myself anymore. And I felt sort of lost until I found the hacking community. And then I had peers again, who were really smart people, who were really driven. And it's an organization that shares information. No one is sort of walling themselves off. So I found it a lot like the military. It was more of a working together field of study.
So do you have you studied cybersecurity?
Yes, I've been studying cybersecurity for about 2 years now. I've done most of my work has been through Hackers Arise, sort of under Occupy the Web, who is a fairly famous hacker. I've worked through most of their course lines, everything from web app hacking to malware development to SCADA, car hacking. I've done a lot of work with software-defined radio hacking as well. And this is a really wide open field because a lot of the security is just true obscurity, really. And when you start looking into it with a $6 or $7 GPS antenna, I can pick up messages from Iridium satellites. So when I got into software-defined radio, that one really crossed up just my love for signals intelligence and then brought hacking into it. So that's another field that's been really interesting for me.
And what you can able to do with the skill set that you have?
I can pretty much hack anything out there that has a chip. I can probably get into it eventually. The 0 days and exploit development really appeals to me now. I'm just starting a course on that, and that really applies assembly and C programming again. Same thing I'm doing for the malware development, but then it's looking at exploit development. So then you start coming up with your own 0 days, and these things are worth money. These things can actually improve national security for my country. So this is the stuff I'm slowly working myself into after a broad study for 2 years of just InfoSec and cybersecurity.
So what are the projects that you helped for, and how was it?
I've done a lot of projects, just basically, it's been mostly studying and learning. I've helped out, I'm currently helping out with a cybersecurity school that Occupy the Web and Hackers Rise has set up in the Ukraine, and it's directly helping Ukrainian intelligence train up Ukrainian hackers to better defend their country. For me, just seeing defenseless people, it just makes me want to volunteer and to help out as much as I can. I see defenseless people, and if I can provide some way for them to defend themselves, well, my job's done.
So for Ukraine country, you're helping right now?
Yes, I am. Yeah.
And for your country? Yeah.
Yeah. And this is just for, teaching basics. When Ukraine first got attacked, they were getting hit by Russian hackers really, really bad. They didn't have the skill set or the infrastructure really to do it. We've seen people like the IT Army of Ukraine really build up that capability. And if I can step in and help teaching a capability to someone who's defenseless, yeah, I'm there.
And what is your motivation to do this work?
Motivation, it's something I really enjoy. Hacking is something I really enjoy. I'm convinced it's, I don't do drugs, but I'm convinced it is drugs because it's an addiction for me. When I hack, there's no better feeling. Like once I get into a system that I'm not supposed to be in, there's no better feeling for me. It's a feeling of accomplishment. It's a puzzle to me. These games are puzzles. So that keeps me coming back and it keeps me studying every day. Every day I put in 3-4 hours of as intense study as I possibly can, just to keep up. Hacking is a world that's constantly changing. So that keeps my need. I really enjoy studying. I get off on studying. So there's always something to study.
And what's your objective?
My objective, eventually, I would like to have my own company where I'm developing malicious software and I'm developing exploits that I can sell to the Canadian government or Canadian contractors, something along that line. I'd like to be my own boss one day. I have a bit of a different schedule where I like working out really hard in the morning. So me and my 140-pound Cane Corso, we go hiking 21 kilometers in the morning. A 9-to-5 really won't allow for that. And a 9-to-5 won't allow me to study my butt off for 6-7 hours a day. So that's where self-employment really, really appeals to me right now.
And you do not have a technology background, but you are able to solve problems today. So what is that self-motivation on, or are you self-taught?
I am self-taught, yes. When I came out in the military really does push one to better oneself constantly. When I got in the military, I sort of fell back to where I was. I did 15 years as a tank commander, armored reconnaissance patrol commander. And when I got out, like I said, I was totally lost. And I ended up back to the 17-year-old kid that had left Newfoundland who was making cheat files for Jedi Knights and ping attacking my friends and maybe sending email bombs. And I sort of found myself back to the same person. So there was a program that had it allowed veterans to come in and get a free boot camp on C# and Python programming. And that's where I started. And it was a self-driven course. And I just fell in love with the way tech is sectioned off. It wasn't like a normal school where I'd have to go for 4 years and study a bunch of stuff like I didn't really want to be doing. With the tech, I could just get into the self-study and do exactly what I wanted to study and focus on that. And it's really appealing. Self-study is really appealing to me. I haven't looked back. It's been a fun journey so far.
Now, have you worked for other countries?
No, I have not. No.
So what industries that you helped for and how was that experience?
The industries I've mostly helped out is we're actually looking at putting together a team, 3Cs, where we have 3Cs here in Canada, to go out and look for even web development problems, almost like a free bug bounty, where me and a couple other Canadian hackers sort of get together and we go out and we look for these problems. That could turn into something eventually. It's just for fun now. It's just an idea me and a couple of hackers are tossing around. For employment overall, though, I really see myself at the end just hopefully working for either a defense contractor for Canada or for Canada itself with my own company.
So I'm sure you'll be doing research in the part of your work. So what do you think that is happening in the IT industry right now? And what do you say about the evolution in the technology?
Right now, AI is definitely playing a huge role. Even the simple things of being able to use Grok or Gemini or ChatGPT-4, I'm not really impressed with its programming abilities. I think we've all tried to to get these AI to produce code, and it's a lot of junk code sometimes. But what I have found for spear phishing campaigns where you're trying to get a CEO to click on a link or something like that, you can put in the basics of, I need this CEO whose name is this to talk to their chief financial officer this, and you can get them to write a really good spear phishing letter. So I've seen AI help out in that way for hackers. I'm also seeing just how prevalent ransomware is right now here in Canada. My mom actually had her information stolen from our hospital once it got hacked about a year ago. So I'm seeing the scourge of ransomware, and I think we just need more people that understand how to make the ransomware, how to analyze ransomware, and hopefully that way I can help prevent this stuff from happening eventually. I'm not there yet. I've been studying ransomware straight for 6 months now, and I feel like I'm just getting to the cusp of understanding the full situation. But I think that's going to play a big part moving forward in our industry for sure, is the scourge of ransomware right now. And I think we're going to have to see government step up and come up with plans for businesses to abide by, or we're just going to keep getting hit.
And have you worked with cloud services?
I have not. I've done some basic just cloud introductory stuff, but I haven't worked a whole lot with cloud hacking, no.
So do you find any loophole in it?
With cloud hacking?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I haven't done a whole lot of cloud hacking to comment. I've done some basic introduction to cloud hacking, but yeah, mostly that what I see from cloud hacking was just password admin passwords being the exact same and stuff like that. But I don't have a lot of experience with that.
And have you worked with Microsoft products and services?
Not a whole lot. I'm actually finding myself really learning Windows right now, because I had been into studying Linux so much. And hacking, like I've just been in Kali Linux for 2.5 years. So as I'm developing malicious software, I'm actually finding myself learning more and more about Windows. So that's been my focus now. But aside from using just Microsoft projects on a daily basis, I haven't done a whole lot with it.
And you have a plan to have your own software which will help companies or the industries to solve their problems. So what are those, and how it is going to be helpful?
Sure. I think mostly for me, it's going to be approaching it from exploit development. I can develop these exploits and sell them to my country to use in their intelligence services. But I think we really need more people that understand how malicious software work and how to analyze it. So when we do get attacked, we can go in forensically and find out exactly what this is doing, doing a static dynamic analysis of this stuff. I don't think there's a whole too many people that's actually doing it. I'm looking around on LinkedIn and Twitter, and I find myself pushing into the new boundaries where a lot of people aren't right now. And I think that's going to be helpful overall. I do have a larger background in digital forensics, which I thoroughly love. Nothing is ever deleted. And that sort of freaks people out. I've taken old hard drives. I've posted about this before, but I've taken extremely old hard drives and that have been cleaned, and all the digital information is still there. So just studying forensics alone really appeals to me with the malware side, because once an organization gets hit with malware, you sort of have to know a lot about forensics to really understand what happened. So that's what I've been focused on.
And what is the biggest organization that you worked for, and where that malware came from?
So I've done a lot of work with different pieces of Russian malware, and I've posted about this on Twitter a couple times. So what I'll do, I'll just go to Malware Bazaar, I'll go to VX Underground, wherever we have repositories for all these viruses. And I have a virtual Windows 10 set up, so I'll go grab these viruses, throw them on my computer, and sit back, maybe a glass of wine, and start ripping these things apart. And that's sort of me building up my own knowledge base, because I do want to do GREM from the SANS Institute, which teaches you the up-to-date malware analysis. But I want to get myself to the point where when I go for this GREM course with SANS, when I have that expert a hold, I want to be able to ask him all the pertinent questions. So it's forcing me to study harder before I go into it, because I sort of want to make sure I have the full grasp. So when I do have these experts, I can pull more information out of them.
And where does malware are coming from? Who are creating it?
Right. Most of the malware we're seeing ransomware-wise is coming out of Russia. It's coming out of China, and some of it's coming out of Iran, mostly Russia, though. And we can see videos of their hackers who are basically state sponsors. So they're out doing donuts and Maseratis with the police watching. They're superstars. They're raking in hundreds of millions of dollars. And the government's saying, well, we're not gonna touch you. You're helping attack the West, and that flows into their country's desires right now. We don't see that on our side. But this is the scourge of ransomware, and why it's still going is because these people won't be brought to justice over there. So they got a carte blanche to attack the West in any way they can.
Is it possible to put firewall and stop everything, or to control the maximum amount of this kind of negative effect?
Honestly, me and a couple of friends were talking about this not too long ago. I think when it boils down to it, we have to get together and say we're not paying this ransom anymore. And I think that means people's information is going to get dumped on the dark web as they threaten. But I think once we maybe invest in helping companies replace their computers and get set back up, and I think it might be cheaper overall as a country if we just get together and focus on, if this person gets hit by ransomware, we come help out. We fix the problem. We get new equipment or whatever, and we focus on putting all our money as a country into that, instead of these companies having to pay out millions to save this information. And on the other side of it, we need more money for hackers. Every company should have a hacker that's paying attention to what they have hooked up facing the internet, and be a friend of that organization by saying, hey, do you know this right now? This is a zero day going around. We need to patch for this. We need to look out for this. I think security has been like something pushed off as secondary for a lot of years. And we're at the point now where, especially like we see hospitals getting hit, this is affecting like our elderly, our children. And I think we need to step up and say, we're not paying anymore, and we're going to invest more in cybersecurity as a nation.
There is a lot of traffic that has been increased in previous years for different applications in the internet. And what do you tell to the technology companies which are providing technology products and services? What do you think that they need to put in their mind in order to make their users to be safe and use their applications?
Right. A lot of it comes down to, I seen one hacker post on Twitter a couple of days ago. She thanked developers for keeping her job secure in her future. I think quality secure assurance and quality control goes a long way. and I'm sure you've seen this from the dev side, you get, like, we look at WordPress, for example. WordPress is so easy to hack because we get brand new developers who develop this new plugin, and they're not thinking about security. Like, it is not their really role to think about security. But the more and more we see, I think security is starting to flow into development as well, and it needs to be, because suddenly there's an insecure plugin and I have the website or something like that, right? So definitely quality assurance needs to be put into these programs, and then there needs to be sort of like a follow-up as well, where as things develop, like, security needs to be right there along with the updates and everything, moving through the life cycle of the programs, for sure.
Do you find loopholes in the top technology company products and services?
I haven't found loopholes per se, but there about probably a year ago now, I was looking at some of Amazon's servers, and they were wide open. Their servers were wide open. So I just send a little email to their security team, and I get a great email back that I can print and put on my wall or put in my folder of things I've helped on. I think no matter what, any larger company, like, there's occasionally going to be stuff like that, but you start seeing people companies taking part in bug bounty programs, and that's really good, because you get these hackers who are experts in web app hacking and such, that can focus on your company, and you just pay them the bounty, which is a lot cheaper than being hacked, right? So that's one way hackers are definitely helping out. Bug bounty, I haven't really got into. It's appealing to some, but the money versus time invested is sometimes not really there. You'll get someone who gets $100,000 for a crazy bug, but that's not the norm, right? If you're putting in a lot of work, you could get some bug bounty. Some people just do it as a side hustle. But bug bounty is really helping out larger companies, for sure.
So what do you say about these applications which are collecting the information of the users when they are using it, by saying that click this to allow us know what kind of services and products that you are using, so that we can recommend what are beneficial for you and what you use more? So are these going to play major role in the internet, and is it safe for users they to allow the companies to use their information and the browsing information and history, everything?
I think once you allow someone to store your personal data, it's only a matter of time. it seems it's only a matter of time. I'm really against buying or using reward apps, because I know a lot of people will use the exact same password in their reward app that has a really crappy security that gets hacked and dumped on the internet. And then all of a sudden, everyone has your email. And with most people, not myself, but with many people, you'll find they'll have like their dog and their cat's name and a number. And that'll be every password they use across everything. So suddenly everything this person owns is wide open to people. So that's the risk of using these apps and sharing that information. Anytime something goes into a database, like, hackers are just waiting to jump in and grab that. I avoid it as much as I can. You can sort of check out websites like Have I Been Pwned, and put in your email, and it'll tell you what databases your email has been dumped from. So it'll say, you know, it hasn't happened to mine, but one of my friends had his Facebook hacked, and he was like, how did this happen? And I looked at his email, and then I could see his email password was dumped about 2 months ago on the dark web from an eyeglass company he had been registered with, right? And of course, he's the average North American, so he had his dog, cat name, and a number, and they just went over to his Facebook, dog name, cat, number, all of a sudden they had his control of his identity, right? So this is risks we all take. like you could have government legislation that made this harder and put more security into it. But in capitalism, I'm not sure the cost reward is sort of a balance game here in North America. So we'll see what happens. But yeah, I avoid any rewards programs, anything like that. I totally avoid.
And where do you find, so you work with intelligence departments and you also see where actually this is happening. So where do, from where, you know, on which platform this is happening?
For like seeing the dumps and stuff is
actually
more.
The hacking is happening from which platforms?
Most of the hacking is happening. Well, they're all using Linux of some sort, but when we see like what platforms are getting hacked right now, WordPress is super simple to hack. WordPress. We're seeing a lot of server side things too. Every single day we go on exploit DB, and honestly, I wouldn't be able to say this thing gets hacked more than that, because every day you turn in exploit DB and there's a new 0 day that has been published. Now, these 0 days may have been out there for 6 or 7 years sometimes and never shown up. So any kind of service that's developed without the quality assurance and stuff, it could be hacked.
And where is your portfolio where people can able to see the work that you're doing and your expertise and your skill set?
Sure. Most of my work I do post on Twitter. I try to get on LinkedIn, but there's only so much time I have for social media. Most of my stuff is posted on Twitter. So usually every day I post at least what I'm working on. So other hackers can jump in and Twitter has been really, really helpful. If you post a question in Hacker World on Twitter, there's always some expert that will show up. You will have the best hacker in that field just show up and share his info with you. It's a great community. I haven't really found out on LinkedIn. I found LinkedIn was more people fluffing stuff about cybersecurity, whereas on Twitter there was some real discussion amongst experts there. So I tend to focus on that. I also have a few Discord groups with Hackers Arise, which is a hacking platform I work with. And there's usually great, I usually share what I'm working on there with them just to get feedback from other hackers and see what they're doing. But mostly Twitter.
And where do you find these kind of people actually using these platforms in order to steal information or try to access the information?
Basically, if it has any kind of chip, it can be exploited. You'll see more on a dark web. You can see these hacker groups and threat actors sort of get together more on a dark web. You'll see some anonymous posts on Twitter, but it's usually very benign on Twitter because they could get banned. However, you go on IRC channels and you'll find that the hackers on IRC. Some use Telegram. It's a Russian thing. I'm not using it. but on IRC and the dark web for sure.
Are you able to find the anonymous accounts and who are trying to do this, you know, if you get this kind of a project currently?
Yeah, for sure. For different hacking groups, some are some people think of these threat groups in Russia as like some underground thing. But the thing is, they have an HR department. They're multi-million dollar companies. So they have an HR department. They have work time, and they probably have their own building. So these aren't like the ragtag guys with like hoods pulled up in a corner. Like we think these are large companies. Some brag quite a bit on the dark web. I mostly follow VX Underground on Twitter, and they keep a sort of a thumb on what the threat actors are talking about. As they get taken down, they're had a back and forth conversation with I know Lockybit got taken down a little while ago. They're back and forth talking to them while the US government and the EU government sort of took down their infrastructure. So the dark web, for sure, they all have their presence for their different threat groups.
And what is red tape hacking?
Red team hacking is basically the offensive side of hacking. So we have blue team hacking. So that would be like a SOC operator, like someone who's watching over the systems. Red team hacking is someone who learns how to break into the systems. And you sort of need this person on team because to defend a place properly, you really need to understand how to break in and attack a place properly as well. It's common sense, but we haven't really seen a whole lot of it. Red team hacking plays an important part too on the malicious software side, because to really understand how to analyze this stuff, you really should know how to build it. So the red team side of building this malicious software, which is sort of into the yellow team of hacking. Yellow is sort of the development of hacking world. So that's where I lean into the red and the yellow. So like developing the tools and attacking. And you can set up your own penetration testing company like that, where you go to a company and say, hey, I'm going to come in here and try to break into your system, and I'll show you any flaws I can find. So that's mostly what I focus on.
And most of the business owners are not technical. I mean, they are not much into technology, and they give complete their work to their developers. And until unless developers explain them how actually their business is managed and maintained in terms of technology, they would not know. So what advice or what suggestions that you have that that business leaders who are working in any place on this planet needs to put in their mind?
I think you really need to put in your mind that anything you have internet facing, there's probably already a hacker, especially if you're a large business, there's already a hacker looking at your things. So I would suggest, and this could come from governmental grants and programs to make cybersecurity cheaper for companies, because it does come down to a cost value analysis. So having a red team hacker on your side ensures that they're out looking for every single exploit that can be used against your system. You sort of like take into a mom protective role almost. This is my system, and this is what my system has. And companies really need red teamers there to protect their systems. And I think as we move forward, you're going to see a lot more red teamers, hopefully employed in full-time jobs within these companies as an integral part of cybersecurity.
Do you think these educational institutions are helping or educating the newcomers who are coming into cybersecurity? What exactly happening in the industry and in the business?
I think with the industry, it has gotten better since even I started programming, because I know with the boot camps I did on Python and C#, it got me job ready as a programmer to jump into this stuff. But it never really taught me anything about insecure development, input sanitation, stuff like that. It never really taught me any of that. But my boyfriend's currently going through a boot camp for Python and front end development, and he's getting the security sort of tossed at him at the very start. So I think there's been a cultural change over the past little while, but we got a ways to go for sure.
And at last, what do you say to my audience who are watching and listening to you from anywhere in the world?
That would put me on the spot. Anything I can say to your audience, I would say hackers are not bad people. Hackers do a lot of good for this world. And I think every company out there, if you don't have cybersecurity, you should have someone that leads. He's kind of looks at your stuff from a red team perspective. And I think cybersecurity really needs to be from development right on through to production.
And what is your observation about my work? Have you seen any videos of mine on YouTube?
Yes, I have. And it's really impressive on just how many different people you're having on. I've seen a couple of friends on there. And the level of people you're grabbing here is just fantastic. You just keep doing the exact work you're doing, because this is fantastic. And it's great to watch. And it's really great to see like people that kind of keep a low profile, maybe even on Twitter and stuff, come on your show and explain what they're doing in the world. So yeah, it's really fun. I really enjoy what you're doing.
I have done a master's in software engineering, also bachelor's in computer science and engineering. Right now I'm working as a DevOps engineer for UK company and a US company. So that's my full-time job. Apart from that, I'm interviewing experts like you who are already in the industry and who are solving different kind of problems and who are helping industries and companies and different, you know, who are from different places in the world. So being in a technology as an engineer, so apart from that, I'm doing this communication, the global communication, and how this is going to be helpful for my career in coming days.
Definitely, it's the I think once we get so much voice out there on tech, like especially like coming from your background in programming, looking around the American the mostly American market, I've been seeing you can really paint a good picture of what's happening in our industry with this show. And I think that's a niche market that's not been hit, and you're really hitting it. So yeah, it's really good.
And have you worked for Space Technology?
For who?
Space Technology, like space industry, NASA or SpaceX.
No, I really wanted to go hack SpaceCon in the Kennedy Space, just because I did do a little satellite hacking. I with my HackRF and some Linux software and a cheap $6 GPS antenna, I managed to hack into Iridium satellites that are passing over, where I can track them and I could grab any data that was coming off these satellites just with my, but it's just insecure through obscurity, right? They if no one knows to look at it, well, they can broadcast insecure and that's it, right? So there were guys contacted me after I posted about that with they have their own virtual machine set up exactly as satellites now, and they're learning how to hack them. And they've been doing some talks at the Kennedy Space Station this year. I sort of got asked to go, but things just didn't line up this year. But like April in Florida, coming from the north here in Canada, that sounds good. Just a nice warm place and some hacking. I think I'll be going in the future for sure.
And so yeah, where people can able to contact you if they want your help?
My help, the best way to contact me would be through email, leetrinity@proton.me. And if you can't remember that, I'm on Twitter every single day. It's Lee Trinity on Twitter, and you can contact me there.
I'll put that information on the screen and also in my website as well. People who find this video anywhere in the internet can able to see you and can see the work that you're doing, can able to follow and can learn from you. Can I put this
excellent
video on my
excellent
YouTube channel?
Thank you so
with
much.
Permission?
Absolutely, you have my permission. Absolutely.
And also, can I put this audio and video clip on my podcast, website, internet, social media, everywhere with your permission?
Anywhere at all, my friend.
Thank you again for your valuable time and sharing some of your work and also answering to some of my questions.
Thank you so much. It was a lot of fun.
Thank you again. Take care.
Okay, take care.
Bye.